This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NOCO with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
News for Northern Colorado, presented by CRP 4x4 Truck Outfitters. I am Tanner Schwint, Brian Carey, my co-host, and wanted just to expand a little bit more on what we saw on 9 News last night with Kyle Clark and Marshall Zellinger in the Republican primary gubernatorial race debate. I think that's the longest I could stretch those names out, but anytime I have a chance to say gubernatorial, I'm going to use it.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I was thinking that as you said it, that I was hoping
word.
At some point I got to slide that in there
as
well.
It's a fun word.
It's a great word.
Last night, I was disappointed, and I was honestly the only way to accurately wrap up what I felt. My son's got a stomach bug right now. My son's 17 months old. He's got a stomach bug last night. I don't know where more... That was about a red button moment there. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
I don't know where more crap was flying. Was in my living room with him or on that stage last night. And I know we say that after every single debate, but it's just the God's honest truth at how bad it gets. And listen, wouldn't you think, Brian, we just had a great conversation with Celeste from Envision. A couple weeks ago, we're talking about the budget. Mm-hmm. And they've got a tremendous event coming up this Saturday, the 5K in my shoes. Go register, be a part of that. Show up for our community, 5kinmyshoes.com. But we're talking about that, and we're talking about an incredible organization that is being gutted because the Democrat-led state house and the Democrats lead everything right now. They were so bad at balancing the budget that now these funds for these great organizations are being sliced gone. And it's like, okay, that's going on. People are mad at how much it costs to live in this state, regardless of who is in office. And I'm focusing on state level stuff here, right? People are mad about what it costs to live in the state. We talk about that with Chris Wood about the home prices, the median, how many people are here now. People are mad about a lot of things right now. And for the last 12 years, it has been completely Democrat dominated in the state of Colorado. Typically, when you see that, when one party, we see it at the national level all the time. That's why we go back and forth with presidents. But typically, when people are so mad about all this stuff, they go, you know what? We're going to go to the other party. Let's vote for the other party. But the problem that was highlighted last night is the Republican Party in the state of Colorado is such a clown show that people who are moderates or independents here in the state of Colorado go, I'm just going to sit this one out. Because the Republicans cannot get a viable option to run at a statewide level. You look back at Heidi Gnall. Heidi Gnall, in her home district, got beat by more than 20 points last time, right? She got beat by more than 20 points. You talk about someone who's not talking, and not relating, is not relatable to Colorado residents. And last night, we saw that again with two of the three candidates. You know, they were talking about affordability, and nobody had any, like, hey, here's what I'd like to do for it. Besides, in my opinion, Barb outlined some things that she really was saying, hey, we need to turn more of this back over to the local government control, which I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're both in favor of. The more local government control that they have over these things, the better, because they're here in the community. They are, they're touching and talking to people in the community. And that was one of the answers. But they talked about affordability, and then it was just an absolute clown show with two of the three candidates on that stage where there was no policy talk by either of them. Their math was so wrong. Scott Bottoms was talking about he wants to cut the property taxes, completely out of the state of Colorado. Like, okay, I would hear that out, right? Like, I would love if we didn't have property taxes. How are we going to fund the essentials, though? Like, the property taxes go to our local municipalities. How are you going to fund that stuff? He had no follow-up to that. Right. That was OK. Let me hear you out on that. Nothing there. There was just a lot of fluff. And what I'm so frustrated by is that there are so many people who are upset with the way that Colorado is being run by the Democratic Party. And yet we can't all get our heads together and say, you know what? Let's get a good candidate. Let's get a moderate. Let's get a common sense individual, which I believe Barb Kirkmeyer is. Let's get behind this one candidate and let's push them out there. Let's try and pull away some of those independents, those moderates. Let's try and get them over to our side by using somebody and running somebody like Barb, who has a history of reaching across the aisle with the Democrats to try and get something done down there. As a Republican, it's impossible to do unless you reach across the aisle. She's done it. But the Republican Party just continuously cannibalizes itself by getting the crazy of the crazies up there on the podium. And we saw that last night.
Yeah, there seems to be more personality over policy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what gets focused on, and I think that's playing into the public and the way we are and the way we react these days to things. So it's an odd time. It's an odd time, and you're trying to figure out, well, what do you want out of a candidate?
Yeah.
And you know, how much – to have to determine how much is bullcrap and how much is real, we've had to deal with that forever. Mm-hmm. We have. It's just, I think in the last 10 years, we have amplified personality over policy.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I do agree with that. And what I wonder, like, listen, I believe on the federal level, Donald Trump was elected for the second time because of the policy. I know that was one of the reasons I cast my vote, because we could go off. We're not a national talk show. We're talking here locally. I think it was because of the policy. It was because of what the economy did that first time. And now he's not doing any of it. This war in Iran is ruining every reputation and every reason why I voted for him. I had to stomach the personality because I am a policy or platform voter, not a person voter. And his policy and platform the first time I agreed with, right? I liked what he did in some of those cases. I'm never going to agree with every politician 1,000%. But the problem is that we've got two characters and clowns up there last night on the Republican Party in Scott Bottoms and Victor Marks, that there's no substance. There is no substance. It's catchphrases and you're mean. And it's like, what? Make politics boring again. I've said that forever. I'm sorry. Barb is a boring political candidate. I will be voting for Barb if she is the nominee. If she is not the nominee, I will not be voting in the gubernatorial race. Got it twice in the segment, gubernatorial. But I will not be voting it. If it's not Barb, I will not be voting in this race. And that's where I'm like, yeah, she gets up there. She talks about budget. We talk about it all the time. When Commissioner Ross comes in here, he starts talking budget. Our eyes get a little, you know, fuzzy, glazed
over. But we need
him
to know.
But we need, that's an important thing to talk about. So I am just absolutely blown away by how bad the Republican Party is in the state of Colorado. And I thought 2/3 of the individuals on that stage last night were just unbelievably cartoonish.
And that's the word that I was thinking of, actually, as I watched it. And again, unaffiliated, all that. I will equally pick apart, you know, each. But I watched it and thought he would be. Did he kill Kevin Costner in Yellowstone? Because it seems like exactly that kind of character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100% I do. And okay. That's what I think. For the Republican Party, they're looking for something like that. That somebody that cowboy, that tough, strong leader. He's got the physical appearance of it, but nothing else. And I don't know what's true with him and what's not. I just, after watching last night and watching the interview he did with Kyle Clark, I personally feel he's a con man. That's my, I personally feel like it's the used car salesman vibe. And I've been around enough of those individuals in my short life to know that's not authentic. And that's what I get from him. But isn't it kind of amazing at how angry and how many things in this state that people are upset about that the Republican Party can't win one race? Right? Like, there's another option out there. But the fact that they can't get their poop in a group to get one viable candidate out there Because after the cost of living and everything, like, there's stuff that people are mad at. And there's been one political party in control of the state now for long enough that their policies are being implemented and have been implemented. That, okay, if you're mad at that, you can probably point and say this is the reason why. And yet the Republican Party can't get their poop in group long enough to say, hey, we have a viable option for you over here. If you're tired of this, we have a viable option. It's just a sad state of affairs for the Republican Party in the state of Colorado right now.
Yeah, you've spoke of that for a while. And again, I am so happy every election as it rolls around that I'm not a member of any of the gangs.
Yeah, I
don't understand buying in completely to one of the gangs. I'm looking for who makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's a hard search.
Yeah, it 100%
is. It really is. I 100% am open to swaying in any direction if you give me a reason to, if I can find something to grasp onto.
Did Barb do that to you last night? That was her goal, was to move people like you. That was her goal in that debate last night.
Well, what it did for me was made one candidate stand out as, that could make things interesting.
Yeah.
To at least hear. She has a voice that you would listen to.
Right. And a track record of working across the aisle.
I don't have to cut through layers and layers of BS to figure out. And when she would be asked a question, she answered it. It wasn't trying to search for what words do I say here. Mm-hmm. And you could just see that everywhere else where everything was, how do I answer this?
Yeah.
Which I get, but I like some of that instant knowledge just off the top of your head.
You should have some.
Yes.
And I had somebody say, because I thought Barb won the debate by a lot, and it just confirmed my thoughts of who I would support in this race. And I had somebody call Barb a rhino. We are a Republican in name only, and I've told you how many times that I absolutely despise that terminology, that school of thought, that if being a rhino means that you're willing to negotiate with the other party to get this is almost a really bad red button segment to get crap done, we're good.
Okay.
But if that's what a rhino is, give me a rhino. Like, stop cannibalizing your own party. Stop trying to say, well, they don't stand as strong as me on this topic. Okay, but Barb's got stuff done in what is a super majority Democratic House, down there at the Golden Dome. Democrats have all the control. A Republican senator, Barb Kirchmeyer, has got stuff done. That's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Well, you basically heard all of them say that if one of the other ones is the person, they're not going to be supporting. This is not a united party.
No.
It is very far from it. And I just thought that was interesting last night.
But, yeah.
Except the one bottom said he would support Kirchmeyer.
I don't know what he was doing up there.
I think in his heart of hearts,
he knows he doesn't stand a chance. I think he really does know that he doesn't stand a chance. But it's not a united party. And this is the problem, is that you get the Victor Marx of the world who don't conform to the party. And I don't know. Near Broke texting in this morning, what's happening? What world did I wake up in 2 days in a row now? I've agreed with Tanner. Thank you for that. That means, maybe getting smarter out there. I am or you are. Jake the geologist guy, Kirkmeyer is the only viable option for the Republicans, in my opinion. The others aren't worth listening to. Barb is a real Republican. The rhinos are the ones calling her that. I couldn't agree more with that text. If you are so insecure in your, I'm a true Republican. Jeez, rhino, it's just so dumb. All right, that's enough political talk. 7:19 the time.
Awesome.
News for Northern Colorado, presented by CRP 4x4 Truck Outfitters. Again, Kyle Clark is scheduled to join us. We'll see if he can make it on or not this morning. You are listening to Good Morning NoCo.
Should we talk about pudding cups?
Yes!
Put on your bobby socks, baby. That's some good stuff.
I feel like it should be 1960s, but going to the malt shop on a Friday night.
It's got the vibe of that. Bop, yeah, but it came out in the 90s. Dan Seals, great stuff.
Seals and Croft.
No, that was that was not him. England Dan and John Ford Coley.
John Fogerty.
No, you didn't hear me.
The Deuce.
Wow. Let's just shout out vocalists who aren't in bands. That's Axl Rose.
I, at some point, I challenge you, sir, to a duel.
Of what?
Of finish the lyrics.
Okay.
I challenge you to a duel at some point. Let's set that up. Either finish the lyrics or name the artist and the band. I challenge you to a duel with, of that on our airwaves. And I know I'm probably going to lose to you because I've, by far and away your strong suit is music.
Yeah, it's like you have just challenged me to a belly flop contest. I mean, this is not going to be close.
I think it's closer than what you might expect. Also, the finish the lyrics would be us singing, which would be fun for each
guy. I enjoy that. Yeah.
So I was thinking maybe we do that. Maybe we do that at some point. I challenge you, sir, to a duel. We'll get Mike in here to run the board, and we'll sit in here, and we will not know what the songs are. We'll let maybe the other two of the Meeting of the Mindless, ahead of time. We'll know the songs, obviously, but let the Meeting of the Mindless other two pick out the songs, and then you and I will try and finish the lyrics.
Sure.
You will lose.
So be listening for that.
John Fogerty.
Whenever that happens. John Fogerty. Yeah. Dan Seals, not in Seals and Crofts. Relative of his was the other Seals.
Oh. Was it? Are they actually related?
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I knew Seals and Croft.
Well, and you have to figure how many Seals can there be aside from the one who was in the Mountain Dew commercial singing burr, Kiss burr. From the Rose.
A deuce. No deception, no games, no tricks, just a smooth running car. None of whatever that was just now at Auto Taylor. There's not a lot of that BS flying around at Auto Taylor. It's like, hey, here's what's wrong with your car. Here's what it's going to cost to fix it. We can do it in this amount of time. Their communication is second to none as well when your car is there. Check them out online at autotaylor.com or on 16th Street and 10th Avenue. We want to know today, what household chore do you despise the most?
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a lot of responses coming in, so let's get to those.
Oh, okay. Like now, or are we taking? Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. Usually, you let me know. But
do you want to take a break, and then we'll get to your responses next?
All right, I got some stuff to do.
Okay. All right. We'll get to your responses next. What is your least favorite household chore?
Me?
No. Drew says all of them. Houses should be made to maintain and keep themselves clean.
That's cleaning the ceiling fan, not one of my favorites.
Yeah, I kind of forget you got to do that at times.
Yeah, you should when it no longer moves air.
Dusting really starting to take hold here as a leader in the clubhouse.
I do enjoy a feather duster and how quickly you can just move it somewhere else.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have a feather duster?
No.
No?
Okay. No. No.
You seem like you're not intrigued by one.
I just had to bite my tongue off. Chad says folding socks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of the laundry folding is the part that I can't stand, and it's those items.
Who folds their socks?
Well, you pair them together, and
yeah,
then you put
but
them.
That's not fold. Like when you
that's kind of folding them.
That
yeah, you get the tops together, and then you fold them across, and then you pile them up.
Like that's the easiest part of folding, is the socks. I love the. It's like a little puzzle for me trying to see which ones match.
I hang them over my chair that I'm in, you know, and waiting for that other pair to show up, and then you'll get those three guys that don't have mates, and you throw them together and put them back in there and think, you know, next cycle you might find the one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
it's like a dating game. It 100%
I've had
is.
One ugly single that's just been in the bottom of the basket and just keeps going in there.
At what point do you just toss it?
I don't know.
It's not 12 years, which is where you're at with that one sock, right? It's been 12 years since.
That's you're thinking of the cheeseburger.
Because I got a quick trigger on that. I got a very quick trigger on that.
On throwing socks?
Yeah. Three turns and then boom, out the door.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wait till there's big enough holes in them that I can't, you know, elongate, stick it between my toes, get it that way. And yeah, I get my money out of stuff.
Jeff says cleaning toilets.
Yeah.
David, yeah, and this is, there's two that I just absolutely, I refuse to do. And again, I'm so blessed because my wife does the majority of all these. And if she heard me right now, you know, saying, hey, oh, I don't like that, she'd be like, when's the last time you've done it?
Yeah, my wife's doing that now.
Jeff says cling toys, but David, this is one that I will refuse to do, never, couldn't do it, even if I wanted to. Shower drains. He says, shower drains in a home full of girls.
Shower drains are, yep, it's even getting you a little bit now, isn't it? Yeah, we'll move on from that. My wife's very good at the plumbing aspect.
Yeah, those, I can't do the wet hair.
Yeah, okay, that's, my goodness, even mentioning it. So, wow, it's dry out there, isn't it? My hair is so dry.
Whoa, crazy.
Yeah. Weird. Crazy. It's unreal.
It's going to be a scorcher today, though. I'm sorry. Like, that was maybe the least professional thing I've ever done here.
Oh, no, if you could have seen how close he was to launching,
no,
that was yeah, because you were picturing
gag.
Up. Yeah.
That, I can't
hey,
do
steak,
it.
Huh?
Yes, thank you. Old fashioned, am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And we'll be talking with Robin Farrellman, who helps us get states,
coming up
in just a little bit.
Well done.
Yeah.
Quick look here, Front Range I-25 corridor, according to Cody Wilson with the weather today.
Yeah, what do we got?
Low to mid-80s, scattered afternoon storms, heavy rain possible today, though.
In the I-25 corridor?
That is correct. Isolated strong storm possible, but obviously going to be warmer today. We start that warming trend today that we highlighted on, I believe it was Monday. Looking at 85 today, 89 tomorrow, 89 Friday, 95 on Saturday, 92 on Sunday.
I quit.
But this is an air-conditioned job.
Yeah, okay. I meant the rest of the life after that. Yeah, anything. Again, I told you the five times I'll be outside between now and September.
That is correct. That is correct. Eastside Chris said changing out bed sheets is the worst one for him. That's a struggle. That is just a struggle. That is the most relatable one, I think, so far.
It's absolutely, it's brutal, and it's, you need a couple people, really, to get it done well. And how often do you do that?
I'm sorry. I read the text from Brody that came in, and I had to throw my phone because he's trying to get me to puke live on the radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was really efforting. I don't know how I'm going to. It will have to be a commercial break before I...
Brady or Brody?
Brody, you got the text too.
Oh, did I?
But please do not read it.
Okay.
You do not read it. How often do we change the bed sheets? I have no idea. When my wife takes them off and puts them in the washer, that's when we do it. 7:36 a time now. Brody, I hate you. Damn it.
But you're right.
We've got Robin Farrellman joining us on the other side. But first, the KFK News and Sports Center.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
.43 the time. Welcome back into the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining us now on the Clearwater Products Hotline, it is Robin Farrellman with Livestock Exchange. Robin, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Absolutely. Good morning to you. I am doing great. It's a beautiful morning out here, and it was a beautiful evening. How could you not start a great day?
Amen to that. I don't know what else you need. Don't know what else you need.
Absolutely perfect out this morning when I walked out to the truck. It just perfect.
Yeah, and then it's going to be a scorcher the rest of the week. So this is why you get your stuff done early in the morning, Robin. But, how are those markets looking here on a Wednesday morning?
Have you ever heard the term, you put the U in ugly?
Yeah. Actually, yes, I've been told that many times.
Surprisingly, I have not.
Well, that's what they are. Let's just say that. It's not favorable. It's been down, you know, as we talked last week, it was down again, you know, and so the feeders are playing at 342 and the fats at 245. Corn's down a tick this morning from the overnights as well. So, yeah, the markets are playing their downside of things right now. Doggone it, we just need them to balance out. But I don't know, you know, too many factors in there. Cattle on feed report, different things like that. So it'll level out and find its base. And I guess it's a good thing because, you know, this time of year, a lot of things are slowing down for movement. So that's a good thing.
Well, hey, Robin, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't normally typically the corn markets and the beef markets, aren't they typically in inverse of each other? So when one goes down, the other one goes up?
Yeah, it kind of. So I'm hoping that the cattle's going to turn around because corn had been up with cattle down, but then corn's down this morning a little bit too. So, I guess I wished I had a whole lot better answer, but the best thing I can tell you is it puts the you and ugly on the market today.
What did that cattle on feed report show, Robin, that it's having this sort of an effect?
It shows that there's a little more on feed than normal, which, you know, if you think about it, it should be because a lot of people didn't retain heifers that normally do because of the prices. So it's that pendulum. You know, you're going to come to this next market report on the cattle on feed, and you're going to find it the opposite of what it is now. So, and then it's going to go goofy the other way.
Yeah, short-term solution for a long-term problem.
Absolutely.
When people are looking at those prices and doing this, so we're seeing a little bit of a dip here, but like you said, I mean, getting rid of those heifers, we've talked about it, the only way that we dig out of, you know, this hole of cattle on feed that we've dug ourselves into is by retaining those heifers, getting more cow-calf operations.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, and the devastation, you know, with the Nebraska guys, what burned everything and what they lost and, you know, herds that the drought and just things like that. You know, you don't replace and replenish herds when you go through disasters like.
So, Robin, let me ask you this: when it comes to like just for our beef consumers out there that aren't in the manufacturing process, do you think we'll see a dip in beef prices, or is it not that drastic of a swing?
Potentially, you're going to see a few more. I would say sale type items, maybe, ground beef, maybe down a little bit, you know. I mean, we're coming into the harvest time for that, you know. You've got, of course, we had Memorial Weekend, then you come into 4th of July weekends, you know. I mean, these are huge. Everybody's grilling, going to the lakes, doing these things. So, it might come off a tick, but I really just think that it's not going to change on the supermarket side of things.
Robin, this is a loaded question, but we're going big picture here this morning, I suppose. When will that breaking point happen? Because so far, the demand for beef is still there. But when will that breaking point happen, as we've seen with beef in the past, of saying, you know what, I'd love to have, you know, this pack of steaks, but I just can't afford it. The market's done a good job of walking that line, and when we get close to that, it seems like it ticks back down to keep the consumer buying it. But how far off, or when do you think we'll see that breaking point of beef getting so high that the average Joe can't or won't pay that price for it?
I had this conversation yesterday, actually, and all I can tell you is beef is still not overpriced. Beef per pound, figure out what a pound, we're just going to say $6 pound of hamburger. They pay $7 for what, 6 ounces of coffee or Doritos chips? I mean, think about it in relationship. The only difference is you don't hear anybody talking about Lay's potato chips or Doritos, the cost of what they go up. You know, they used to be $2.50 a bag. Heck, we had company come. I went in there and, oh my gosh, I like to fell over, you know?
$7.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
And how many ounces is that?
I don't know, but not nearly enough.
10.5. So it's higher than beef, but yeah, we don't talk about that. So when will it balance out? When, as you ask me the big question, I honestly think that this might be the new norm for a while. So I can't tell you that.
Okay.
My crystal ball is cloudy.
No, I think that's a fair answer, and I think, you know, even for our listeners who maybe aren't in the ag industry, this is something to think about as farmland and these mom and pop operations are getting bought up or having to sell out or whatever the case may be. Like, this is something to consider. I think we've taken, you know, maybe for granted a little bit our beef industry here in the United States, because we've got the best in the world. I mean, we're pumping out Cadillacs every time that we provide beef, and I think it's something where, oh, but it needs to be cheap. It needs to be at that level, and now that it's catching up to market average, I think people are starting to raise an eyebrow a little bit, and it's something to think about next time you're in there and looking at the cost of everything else going up. There's a reason why beef is going up as well.
You know what? I just had a conversation this week, too, with some people that were over in Switzerland, and they said that the beef over there for a hamburger was $24. Now, United States puts out the cheapest food in the world. Our people are spoiled here in the United States, because you go over outside of the U.S., and their groceries is, you know, one of their major things, and it's not here in the United States. So we've spoiled the consumer in the United States by keeping lower-priced food available. But, you know, we still spend for an 8-ounce or 10-ounce coffee, they'll still spend double shot of espresso at $6.50, but you don't hear that.
Yeah, the priorities of what we're buying, and in the sense of beef being a luxury item in other countries, I think is certainly true. Robin, what do you have coming up at Livestock Exchange this week?
Absolutely, gentlemen. We have a phenomenal week lined up. It is our Holstein Springer Special Heifer Week, and we do have I believe it's about 31 of those head consigned. So if you're looking for any of those milking cows, we will have some of those. And then we have a great run of just the regular coal cows and bulls and a handful of feeders on there as well. And then we start that sale at 9 o'clock, and those baby calves will sell at 11:45, and then on to the Holstein Special Springers at 12, and then breads and pairs to follow, and then stalker feeders following that. And then on this Saturday, we have our first annual high-stakes horse sale. We've got a super nice listing in the catalog, and invite everybody to come out. Want to remind everyone, horses must be checked in by 9 a.m. Saturday morning, and don't wait till you think they get there at 9, because everybody's going to do the same. So I encourage you to come out on Friday if you're coming to check in animals or sell animals through the loose run-ins. That sale starts 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, providing we don't have everybody show up at 9 to get them brand inspected, because we can't sell them till they're brand inspected. So, but a super nice lineup of catalog. Look on Facebook, look on our website. We've got videos on there of all these horses that are consigned, and it'll be awesome. And just a great thing, and it's something that we're stepping into as an annual and hoping to get some really phenomenal horses out there. So that is this Saturday, June 6th. If you can believe it's already going to be the first week in June, almost over, but lots going on out there. We're receiving hay again already for the June hay sale, so keep that in mind. But they can sure log on to the website at livestockexchange.org and sure look up at any of the sales, any of the market reports. We're there for you. We want to help you market your cattle, your horses, your hay to the top dollar. And, you know, by all means, if you've got questions, follow us, call us. We've got Facebook, we've got emails. We're here for you.
You're all over the place, Robin. I absolutely love it. World Wide Web. That's why they call it that. Robin, hey, great conversation this morning. Thanks so much for your time.
Absolutely, gentlemen. You guys have a super rest of the week.
You do the same, Robin.
There you go. There's Robin Varlman from Livestock Exchange. So it caught me a little bit when she was talking about the, well, we have low-cost groceries here. So I was doing some digging, and the World Economic Forum does back her up. The lowest share of income that we spend on groceries, we have the lowest in the world by a substantial margin.
Always, and has that margin gotten smaller?
That I don't know. I know that we have always, historically, the United States has always ranked at the top at only about 6.4% of our income is spent on groceries. And then you look worldwide, like Nigeria or Kenya, they spend about 56% of their money on groceries. So that was an interesting, because it hit me. I was like, really? I have never researched that. And when you look at it, and according to the World Economic Forum, the United States has typically, we've spent the least amount on groceries across the world. So I thought that was interesting about the Swedish cheeseburger, too. I think I'll be eating soup if I ever go to Sweden, Brian. I'm not paying $24 for a burger.
Well, yeah. Is that 24 Sweden or American? And I don't know which is.
What is the Swedish currency?
I don't know, but you're saying like a $24 burger?
Yeah.
Is that, that's what it costs to order at Red Robin right now.
Yeah, for the fries and the burger
you
and
get
the drink.
The yeah,
and
you're going to pay that. Yeah, we got a break.
Yeah, 7:55 the time now. Let's get to the Daybreak Ag Report. Hour number three coming up. We'll take a look at the NHL. Chris McFarland, the GM of the Avs, goes bye-bye. Smash Trasher Compost presented by A1 Organics as well. It's Good Morning NOCO. We're presented by Lemons Heating and Cooling, and we will be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.